we could look at the parables in passing. It's just an overview. Chapter 23, the Lord Jesus Christ says, in effect, your house is left unto you desolate. 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee, thy children, together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And we find that there is opposition to the king, opposition to the kingdom. Israel was rejecting the Messiah and rejecting the message of the gospel of the kingdom. The good news concerning the king. And in the midst of all of this, there is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Nationally, judicially, Israel said that he was the prince of demons. The Lord Jesus Christ judicially sets them aside, as it were. Your house is left unto you desolate. I would, ye would not. The parables 22, 21 conclude this. And so now we find that the disciples are in chapter 24, 1, they're at the temple, and they ask three questions. By the way, three questions are also asked in Acts chapter 1. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But before that, before his cross, the questions are raised. When? Because earthly Israel was expecting the Messiah. Earthly Israel was expecting that there would be this kingdom. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? He presents the kingdom, and he's rejected. And so the question is asked, verse 3, tell us. Tell us. Three questions. When shall these things be? And what shall be? And it's in two phases. The sign of thy coming, and the sign of the end of the world. Literally, it's Ionos. It's not Cosmos. It's the end of the age. Which age? That's a key question. So I just suggest this as a backdrop. Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the king and the kingdom. If that is not understood, then we cannot understand the dispensational portent of this passage. Matthew chapter 24 really is not the church. It is answering questions that pertain to the kingdom and the king. But we learn lessons. And I would suggest, brethren, that it's also very profitable for us at times to even preach the 10 virgins. Because it shows us the expectancy of one who is coming. But it really is not the church. And applications can be made carefully, but it is really talking about the king and the kingdom. And for students later on, younger people, to understand this also, you have to understand the mystery parables of chapter 13. Not our subject right now, but if you're looking for further study, Matthew 13, Matthew chapter 24, and of course now these three questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? We intimated earlier that God is dealing epically. He's dealing with different ages. There was the age of law. This is now the age of grace in which we're living. But it had not yet begun. The age of grace began, and there's some debate here, but some say it's when Christ said it's finished. There's some overlap, perhaps. But the coming of the Holy Spirit, I would say, signals the instance of the church beginning. And, of course, will end at the rapture. And so now we're living in a parenthesis. Between his dealings with Israel in the past, his dealings with Israel in the future, and now this great parenthesis, which we know as the church age, this mystery age. But the disciples are on this side, and they're asking the question, when shall these things be? And he jumps over this age and goes to the age that is yet to come.
I think it's kind of interesting that the 70 weeks of Daniel truth in connection with the timetable of God comes in Daniel chapter 9. you would think it should be in chapter 10 maybe, or in chapter 11. Because chapter 9 is a chapter where he was praying and confessing his sins and the sins of the people. Verse 20 of that chapter said that, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel." So, not to scare anybody, he wasn't studying theology while he learned about the 70 weeks and all of these dispensational things. The greatness is this: he was in the presence of God, owning his nothingness and the nothingness of his people. And in that atmosphere, in that attitude, one is able to learn the mind of God concerning his people. So the challenging to us is this: if we are in the presence of God, owning the condition where we are in, owning the condition around us, and not pointing finger at everybody else and saying, "Look how they messed up." Daniel said, "I have sinned." Yes. Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and Daniel's 9. And here it is, in that sphere, the Lord is opening to him all of these wonderful and great truths. He didn't learn it in books. Yes, he read Jeremiah, and he realized all of these things. But that revelation came to him in the presence of God. And if we want to understand the Gospel of Matthew, as the brother was saying, it is by being in the presence of God, knowing the condition of ourselves, the condition of the people around us, confessing that and seeking help from him, the Lord will give us instruction.
Might just for clarity mention that the 70 weeks represent 70 sets of seven, or 70 times 7 years, or 490 years. And the prophecy that was given to Daniel, that he expresses here in Daniel 9, is a clear outline of what God is going to accomplish with Israel. A little background is that Israel was given a command to let the land rest every seventh year, not to use the land in agriculture, and that land would then take a rest. It would be the Sabbath year rest for the land. But ever since Israel entered the land of promise, it did not give the land its rest. And God said, "My land will have its rest." So for 490 years, it never got its rest. 70 years of Sabbath rests were not given to the land, and God was going to give that land its rest. So the first 7 years are God's judgment, bringing the people out of the land, bringing them into captivity. They're now in Babylon for 70 years. That's seven of the 70 weeks. And now they're brought back, a small remnant are brought back to the land. And there's going to be another 62 weeks, or 62 times 7. You can figure out the calculation. Between that moment in time and Christ's coming and death. That's exactly what took place. You can calculate it. The Lord's death from that point back in time. Now there's a missing week. There's a 70th week. We only have we have 7 and 62. Where's the 70th week? And there's this silence. Well, it comes up. It comes up in Revelation. It comes up in Matthew 24. There's going to be one more week, and that week represents 7 years. And that 7 years still is to come. And that is why we say it's the 70th week of Daniel, or the 70 weeks of Daniel we refer to. This outline is critical to understanding future events, because if you don't understand Daniel, you will not understand Revelation, and certainly you won't understand Matthew 24. And this is where you need a foundation of understanding in how God revealed these things and how they're related to Israel, judgment on Israel, a prediction of the coming one who would then suffer and die, and then a final week of judgment, actually, which we call the tribulation period, the 70th week, 7 years.